I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Before we begin the episode, just a quick word from our brand new friends of the show. We've got friends of the show now, guys. Yeah, look at us. They are the very fabulous Onto. They are a company who you can use to subscribe to an electric car. How cool is that? Subscribing to an electric car. So if you are maybe carless and you're looking for something a bit flexible, or maybe you're ready to take the leap and go as electric as Bob Dylan did in the 60s, just hopefully without the whole, you know, heckle of Judas from the crowd. Hopefully that's just ideal. Then these guys, Onto, are the ones for you. Check them out, on.2. They chuck everything in, including your fuel costs and your insurance. Really, really good. Loads of electric cars to choose from, on.2. All right, on with the show. Here comes Alex Zane. Enjoy.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Shut up.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God. I've just seen how much you've ordered in the last 6 months. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's the most I've ever seen in 6 months. Congratulations.
Oh, dear.
Do you know how many, I mean, straight off the bat, do you want to know how many things you've ordered in the last 6 months? How many items you've ordered?
Go on then.
Well, let me give you some context. You started in 2009 with one order, all right, which we'll come around to in a sec. In 2020, in the first 6 months of 2020, you have ordered 337 things.
Oh dear.
Oh my God.
That's shocking. That's a shock to me. That's a lot. Is that right? I didn't even know. it keeps a log of what you've ordered, but I didn't know you could just numerically find that, which I'm happy about because unhappy about that. I should have maybe seen that and gone, what are you doing? Well, you're not earning any money.
Well, listen.
To stop living like this.
First of all, this is going to be the first ever intervention episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. I need to do an introduction. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. That's Alex Zane, who you can hear already squirming. Alex Zane, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Thank you. Yeah.
Are you already reeling after that reveal, that big reveal?
In a way that I think will transcend this broadcast. It's going to be something that I take away from this and have to deal with because that's a shocking... A shocking overspend on my part.
It's absolutely delicious. Listen, we'll come round to 2020. I sort of feel like I'm gonna throw a lot of light onto your lockdown in this episode. Okay, so what we'll try and do, maybe we'll skim over the first few bits. For example, 2009, your first ever thing that you've bought on Amazon. You bought it for Pam Lawrence.
Okay.
And it's an absolute bestseller, this book. I remember reading this myself. It's a real classic, and the audiobook is brilliant. Managing and Supporting People in Healthcare, Six Steps to Effective Management Series. It's by Julie Hyde. Tell us a little bit about this book, Alex Zane.
Oh, I assume you've read it. It's uh-huh. just a page turner about management techniques in healthcare. From the opening page, where it really sets out what it intends to do as a book about managing healthcare, to that final chapter where you really feel like you've learned a lot about managing healthcare, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
No, that's my mum. That's my mum.
It's for Pam. Yeah. It's not for Alex. It's for Pam. But you've used your Amazon account to buy your mum this book. As a holiday read, presumably, or maybe a career.
Yeah. No, she works in managing healthcare. So she will have got a lot more from that book than I would have done had it ever passed through my hands. I think that went straight to her address. So I've never touched it.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. It's a dry start to the episode, but that's. Do you know what I mean? That's fine. Sometimes it's what we need. As starters go, this is the bowl of nuts of peanuts.
You realize this was my fear. I did say to you, I think it's boring. I think my Amazon account is boring. You went, oh, don't worry. And now what you've done is point out just how boring my Amazon account is. It feels like you've done the old switcheroo there.
No, not at all. Au contraire, Alexane. What I'm doing is I'm finding a way in to talking about your mum and her career, right? As tangents go, name me a single other podcast that begins with a discussion of specifically Alex Zane's mum's career. Name me a single podcast.
I think we both know that I can't do that, so well done. Well done, Tom.
Thank you very much indeed. So is your mum a nurse? Has she always worked in healthcare? How was it being the son of a healthcare worker? There we are. There's a question.
It's a great question. It's very good being... being her son, she's
five stars.
She's done wonders with what she was given, and I assume the feeling is reciprocated. As far as her job goes, I talk more about my job than we do about hers. But that's not because in any way my job is more interesting than hers. It's because she likes to ask questions about my job, and I choose to answer those questions. Mm. But yes, she works as in housing support for an organisation in Leeds, finding people who are homeless places to live. So that's
very nice.
That is her job. Yeah,
yeah. And is that so? Is Leeds your background? Is that where you're from as well?
It is. Yes. 19 years.
And did she find you a home?
No, she threw me out of a home. Actually, her home, in fact. I mean, not physically. Although she is abnormally strong. But I spent 19 years living in my mum's home, where she still lives in Leeds. Before, in 1998, I made my merry way down to London. But it's nice because I do like because my mum still lives there. I do get to go back to Leeds, and it is always. I think that everyone gets there when they go back to their hometown, where it's like, you know, watching a city change and sort of revisiting your old stomping grounds and the parks in which you used to get drunk on 2020.
Oh, happy time. And yet now it's 2020. I mean, come on.
Look at that. Full circle.
Why don't we have, there should be, because 2020 was a specific alcohol for a specific 90s generation, I believe. We should have some sort of reunion of the 2020 alcoholics in 2020.
2020 was, if no one's drunk 2020, it's surprising that anyone purchased it, because it was awful. Yeah. It was before Alcopops. It was
the thinking man's hooch.
But it was... so painful on your throat, and we used to get it from a guy, and it was quite amazing. At 14 years old, there was an off license, an independent off license near my house in Leeds, and we looked 14, me and my friends, and it was run by a guy. It was called Milligan's, and it was run by a guy who we assumed was Mr. Milligan, because you just did things like that, and. Yeah. He liked to drink himself, clearly, because we walked in looking 14 and flashed a biro scrawl on a little bit of card and went, yeah, I'm 18. And he went,
hello,
whatever you like. Can I recommend things for you? This 2020 is flying off the shelves. Why don't you try that? So we'd lug all our plastic bags of 2020 down to Rounday Park and sit there. Drinking.
Is there anything more sinister than a man called Mr. Milligan curating a bunch of teenagers through his cheap alcohol collection?
And you know, I don't know that it would happen now. 1998, those were the halcyon days of 14-year-olds in off licenses.
It was such vile stuff, and it would burn, but it was an efficient alcohol delivery system, wasn't it? In a glass bottle. Mm-hmm. And it was weird flavors as well, like peach and orange, very, very sugary. But
it was fruit that before and since has never been put together. It was fruit that didn't belong in the same mixed drink. It was like watermelon and potato, or like, you know, carrots and like a picture of some soup. It was just very strange.
It was. They had flavors like orange Jubilee, banana red, blue raspberry. It was WKD, but without, you could have it without having to be a wanker. That's why it was good. Red grape wine, dragon fruit, peaches and cream.
There you go.
And strawberry kiwi.
It's worth saying, just in case 2020 is still available. I don't know if it is. I haven't found it in many years. But if you're going to it for one of your five a day, turn away. There's no fruit in it. No fruit has ever been close to a bottle of 2020.
Absolutely true. That's really, thank you for that sensible health advice at the end there, Alex. That's really helped. Yeah. Having just advertised teenage drinking so beautifully, you really turned it around at the end.
But it was fun. It was so much fun.
There you go. Now we know why your mum kicked you out. So that's ideal. So you've already found something out. All right, let's move on to 2010 now. February 2010, you've bought a lovely three-gang two-way 500-watt dimmer switch. Now, this is the kind of gold we look for on My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's black, it's nickel. It costs £34.29. Over to you, Alex Zane.
It's got, if I remember rightly, and I am not looking at my own Amazon now, it's got three knobs on it.
Hang on a second. That is correct.
Yes. Three knobs, yeah. Yeah, so a dimmer switch broke in my old flat. And because I'm a believer in trying everything before making it worse and then having to bring in a professional, I decided to replace the dimmer switch myself. I'll tell you the first mistake I made. The original dimmer switch had only two knobs on it. So forevermore, I had a third superfluous dimmer switch.
So it wasn't attached to any lights. It was just there to show off, to make it look as if you're a multi-lit man.
Yeah, to make it seem like somewhere in the flat, and it was not a big flat. There was a light that was being controlled, but even I just never knew which dimmer switches did what. So you'd be hammering all of them on, then that one.
Well, that is the famous hotel syndrome, isn't it? Every time you go to a hotel, there's at least a 15-minute tax where you have to lie on the bed and make sure, and go look at every single TV channel. That's just a rule of getting into a hotel. And also spend way too much time working out which light switches do what.
I find it very strange. Like, some lights seem to be controlled by, like, there's a switch that, depending on how many times you turn it, and this is on American hotel rooms, considering they're such an advanced country, the light switches they have on their bedside lamps are strangely archaic. Because they're these tiny little plastic knobs, which are very fragile. I mean, they're, you know, a child could break them. And if you twist them once, you get a certain amount of brightness. And then you twist them again and you get a higher degree of brightness. And then you twist them a third time and then you're off. So if you're on a slightly dim brightness, but you want that light to be off, you're going to have to then go to the higher brightness to turn it off. Yeah.
Wow! So you've got to journey through the full spectrum to get to the darkness.
So if you have adjusted your eyes to a slightly dim light, and you're like, "Oh, that was a lovely dim light," I've enjoyed.
I'm ready for sleep.
Yeah,
I'm ready for sleep.
What you're doing then is having to turn through just bright sunlight in your eyes, stimulating your eyes, waking you back up, and then going into darkness. And it's not jet lag. That is really why most people struggle to sleep in hotel rooms on the first night in America.
Oh, absolutely, bro. I'm so glad that you've diagnosed this. That's so annoying. So at this point, 2000 and whenever we are, 10, 11, are you still on the MTVs? What's going on with your career, please?
Oh, 2010. No, I'd left MTV by that point. And I think, this was the point I was doing Rude Tube.
I remember this.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And if anyone ever saw RudeTube, I'll just very quickly explain. It's where we counted down hilarious videos from YouTube and the internet in general. So if you never watched it on TV, that probably means you had the internet. So well done, you. But it was great fun.
So it was YouTube for grannies, is that what you're saying? Or for people in rural areas?
I think what it was, especially when it first launched, because it launched 2007, 2006, the end of 2006. So YouTube itself had just started. at that point. Yeah. And so like kids had embraced YouTube and everyone was talking about YouTube, but obviously parents who were still new to what the internet could do and what YouTube was were aware that their kids were disappearing off and spending hours on YouTube. And then this show came along and went, here, adults, this is a television program. Watch this to find out what your children are indeed watching. And yes. and then I imagine shortly after we first aired, a lot of parental locks went on household computers.
So you ruined YouTube for a generation. Yeah. Alex saying there, ruining all the fun.
Yep. Toasty, toasty nerds, toasty nerds,
toasty nerds, toasty. Okay, Alex, let's move on to 2011. And again, you seem to be using Amazon as a source of light because you've only bought two things. A 10-pack of candle lanterns, the famous cow killers. So Alex Zane, responsible for many, many cattle choking on bits of metal. Thanks for coming on the show. And you've also bought a 14-inch white round lanterns as well, March 2011. Why the need for light in March 2011?
So... correct me if I'm wrong. So these lanterns, these are the ones that you light. They're like mini hot air balloons. The candlelight raises them up and...
raise me up. Sorry, mate. Sorry, I just got a bit spiritual there. Yes, they are. And they're exactly that one which you light and then they fly off. And I've done them as well. We've all done them, but they've since become somewhat taboo because of the harm they inflict on livestock.
Tell me, do I fall in or out of that revelation? I mean, am I when I was doing this, were they known as cow murderers or not? Because I feel like
that's true. It's subsequent. Yeah. After the event, at the time you weren't knowingly killing cattle. So and on with that, you're let off. The case is annulled.
I did buy those. I remember. I think it was a birthday, maybe, or there was some event. And this was after I'd moved into a flat with a garden. So I was in my back garden, and I remember doing the first one and being quite excited to see. You know, putting something into the sky, I think fundamentally is always exciting for humans. Like having something on the ground and then doing something to it, and that thing then going up in the air. It's why drones are so popular now, but this was a forerunner to the drone. Anyway, we did one, and it almost floated into my neighbor's open window. And so I actually think the rest of them are still on top of a... You know when you have something, you're like, well, these were expensive, so I'm not going to chuck them away. And so they're sitting on top of a wardrobe right now. Right. Still here. They're still here. But they won't be used, obviously, because of the...
because of the cattle knowledge that I've given you.
The cow news, yeah.
Yeah, later than breaking Kelly's. I mean, that is essentially what you're doing. You're taking a fairy light and you're weaponizing it. It's like a very, very shit nuclear weapon that you're sending off into the sky. So I'm not hugely surprised that you nearly burnt your neighbor. I mean, was your neighbor also livestock or a human being?
He's a very nice man, but he's not the kind of person, not that anyone would be like, isn't this hilarious? Because part of my house is on fire. from what you just did, but no one would do that. But he'd veer more the other way. We have interesting conversations. Like I had some guys come in to take some branches off a tree on my side of the fence. And
lovely. Hello, and welcome to my garden. Help yourself. Yeah, good. Nice scenario.
He popped out of his house and started directing them, saying that they should do the ones on his side as well. But he did it in a kind of way where it was very passive aggressive. He was like, well, look, if you don't do it, I'll go up there myself and do it and make a right mess of it so it'll look shit. Oh, so it's in your best interests to do it. So he's one of those people. So, that's my neighbour. But we get on.
Yeah, but that's a very, very clever way to get things done, saying you need to do this thing or I'll do it badly.
Yes, and that's a lot of our conversations are... We need a fence. We need to raise this fence for more privacy between us. I'm like, that is actually, Stuart, a good idea. That's a
very called Stuart.
That's a very good idea. And then he's like, so are you going to do that? Because if I do it, I'll do it badly. I'm like,
He's standing there with like a bit of Play-Doh and maybe a hammer. This is what I'm going to use to do it with. So I'm happy to do it. I'm ready to do it.
Is this right? Because I've never done it before. So I don't know if Play-Doh and a plastic hammer is how you build a fence. Do you? Because you should tell
me. But I'm happy to do it. But if you know better. Yeah, it's a clever Stuart. Clever Stuart.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't wanna hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
A fascinating array of things bought around Christmas 2012. I've never seen such expenditure. Obviously, your what are you work-wise? What are you doing in December 2012? You must be coining it in, because you've only gone and bought three fucking tellies. I've never seen such excessive TV buying. You've bought Pam Lawrence a telly for 780 quid. You've bought yourself a telly for 780 quid, and you've bought yourself a telly for 600 quid. So that's over a grand of TV buying. Is this because you are on TV?
All right, this makes me look ridiculous.
It does, and
far more affluent than I really am. One of those TVs went back. The £600, I believe, went back because it, in fairness, because it wasn't big enough. So I'm pretty sure I returned.
That's not a good defense.
Okay. I returned one of them, but yeah, I got to the point where I decided, and I would never recommend anyone doing this. And if you have done it, I think it's an interesting one. I wanted a TV in my bedroom so I could watch TV in bed, like a big widescreen TV on the wall above my bed. Not like, you know what I mean, on the wall face.
Not behind your bed. That would be a story. Because then what you could do is put your picture on the TV. Do you know what I mean? Like a nice image of you above the bed when you bring a lady home. Have a little browse of the dimmer switches. Just press that one, up comes your face above the bed. Bingo. Yeah. Off we go.
Yeah, and that would be creepy, but
really creepy. Yeah,
but I mean, is it wrong for me to say it sounds pretty sexy? Because it does.
It's working for me.
So I wanted a TV in my bedroom, and I bought myself, I treated myself to a TV in my bedroom, and I didn't like it at all. I think why I was saying I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's terrible for sleep, and just like I feel like a bit of a slob. I like a good book now before bed. I like a good book.
Oh, Alex. What? Yes. What? Yeah. No, I'm just so pleased that you're so middle-aged now. I'm so happy.
Right.
You've got a whippet and a good book on the go. That's what you need, Alex.
It's true. It's true. And also, I didn't always get to watch what I wanted. And there's nothing worse than, watching Tantrums and Tiaras on D-Max at 11 at night when you want to go to sleep. You're like, this wasn't the plan.
This cost me 800 quid.
Yeah.
Why have I done this? The TV in the bedroom thing, first of all, quite an American thing, because Americans have all, that's why late night chat shows are so popular in America. Because it's like a going to bed thing. Mm. They put a telly on and they watch it. Very bad for your sleep, 100%. Also, I would say, to add a sort of career twist to this, maybe not something which you suffered from because of your success, but whenever I put any sort of late night comedy TV on, I spend a lot of my time going, oh, I wish I was, how did he get that? Why is she doing that? And then I just go to bed hating myself. So there's an issue there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. There was a period where I stopped watching TV altogether when I was like, I just get angry. Why did my agent not? Why was I not even? I didn't even hear about that show. So that's making me angry. I'll just turn my American bedside light onto the brightest setting.
my eyes.
I reckon agents know when their clients have bought tellies for their rooms because they all start getting emails at like 11:30 at night.
Yeah,
just lying in bed.
I have done that before. I've been a problem client.
Oh dear, we all have love. All right, so here's a good one in October 2012 as well. Look at this, a DVD recorder. Oh, Alex, you know, you're earning your telly money. You're on MTV. Are you still on? No, you're not on MTV at this point. You're on RuTube. You're spunking 250 quid on a DVD recorder.
Yeah.
250 quid.
I'll happily admit that this was a bad purchase, Tom. This was, I don't even, so I had, just because, how do you feel about like archiving like your memories? Like when you've done stuff as someone in the broadcasting world, like very early on, do you want to keep that for that sort of mythical point in the future where you think your kids are going to go, what was one of the first things you ever did on TV? Did you ever do like an advert or something? Have you got it? So I do have those things all on corroding VHS tape. So I bought the DVD recorder to transfer everything from VHS to DVD to
corroding DVD.
Brilliant. Do you know how difficult DVD recorders are to work? You have to play it out, don't you?
You've got to play it out.
The whole VHS. Yeah. And like, the problem is because I put it in the living room and I thought, all right, I'll start doing this. And then I remembered that half like the VHSs that I have that have my old stuff on, also, I've recorded like the Red Shoe Diaries sex scenes from when they were on Bravo.
David Duchovny at his best, at his very best.
Yeah. And so I'm just worried that I'll be like, this is definitely that advert I did for Boots in 2001. and then I'll put it on. And then I'm like, uh-oh. David Duchovny wasn't in that advert with me. This isn't going to go well. The family is sitting round. Here we go.
Those are not my legs. Listen, this is great. So listen, here's the thing. I've done this myself. I have tried to VHS. I've taken all my stuff from VHS and tried to make it digital in order for this mythical moment when I might sit a child down and show them what their daddy once was. Now, spoiler, I have very recently, in the last couple of weeks, had that moment, okay?
Oh, wow.
So I've had the actual bit, yeah. But to rewind, the problem, again, similar to sitting in bed watching TV with your peers doing better than you, right? Again, not something which you're going to struggle with, Alex Zane, but for Tom Price, it was a big deal watching everyone called Russell doing much better than you. But the problem I had was I did a lot of pilots, right? I did a lot of pilots. I did pilots for BBC One, for Sky, for all sorts, all on VHS. And then I transfer them onto DVD. And you're right, you have to play them out. You have to watch them through. So if anyone listens to this who maybe doesn't work in TV or comedy world and just does a happy, normal, decent, proper job, which actually involves fulfillment and success, right? Imagine you are watching a video of when you were, say, 24, 25, 26, full of hope and excitement and dreams and a belief that you were on a trajectory taking you to an amazing place, right? And you have to watch it through. You have to watch every single fucking minute. Imagine, okay, essentially what you're watching is a wedding video for a marriage that ended in divorce, right? And you are watching that special day, and it's not like there's one wedding, there's like 9 or 10 that I've got to sit through and watch. So thank you for allowing me to have that rant. I'm really happy. And then the other day I sat my eldest son Wilfred down and said, look, here's me and Torchwood doing a fight scene where I got beaten up. And he went and laughed, ran downstairs and said to his brother, daddy was in a fight scene and he was really weak and got beaten up. And they all laughed at him.
See, that's it. You don't think about that at the time. Think I'm in Torchwood. You don't think I'm in Torchwood losing a fight, and what are my kids actually going to see in that moment? Yeah.
Well, apparently there are are some actors, Tom Hiddleston, who famously, when they have fight scenes, even though plot-wise they've got to lose the fight scene, have huge arguments on the day. This is the story that's doing the rounds about Tom Hiddleston. On the day, having a massive argument with the fight coordinators because he doesn't want to lose the fight, even though his character has got to lose the fight for the story.
Wow. That feels like 80s cinema all over again. You know, when like,
yes,
you know, when Arnie, yes, and Sly Stallone were famously at loggerheads about who was the hardest man, and, you know, like Commando and Rambo First Blood Part 2 came out, and I think the director of Commando had snuck him to a screening of Rambo First Blood Part 2 and realized how many more people Sly Stallone killed in that movie.
Yes.
So he goes back on set and goes, Arnie needs to kill more people. It's that kind of that kind of crazy competitiveness. Although the best one of those is the fact that at the peak of them going sort of head to head about who was like more famous, who was more successful, Arnie made it seem publicly like he was definitely going to do a film, and he only let people know publicly because he knew that Sly Stallone would jump on it if he thought he could get in there before Arnie. And so he was like, I'm going to do this movie. And then the producers of the movie went to Sly Stallone and went, look, Arnie's going to do this, but we'll give it to you first because we think you'd be better for it. And Arnie was never going to do it. And the movie in question was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Sly Stallone was played, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Right, listen, 2013. Here we go again with the fucking hell, man. Polished chrome.
Oh God!
Dimmer switch. Why? You've got an obsession with grades of light. This one's only got one knob on it, so
yeah. A root tube had finished. I'd hit the skids. that was again. I remember that dimmer switch because it's like a fireside chat.
I remember that dimmer switch.
I installed it myself, but in doing so, I took a large chunk of plaster out of the wall.
Oh,
and
no.
And while I can now, I can't affix a dimmer switch to a wall. I can't plaster. I've tried. It's not something in my skill set, Tom.
No.
So
no. Well, again, what you could do is go around to Stuart and say, look, I'm happy to plaster your wall, Stuart, but this is how I'm going to do it. Come and see what I've done.
Yeah, I've brought these eggs and a duck. Is that going to work?
A fascinating story to be told here in 2013. I don't know what's going on here. Hopefully, seeing as it's your shopping listery, you can tell me. 11th of June 2013, you spent £98 on some Armani sunglasses. And then on the 11th of June 2013, you spent £102 on some Armani sunglasses. And then on the 11th of August 2013, you've spent £58 on some Armani sunglasses.
I struggle to find sunglasses that suit my face. And I also, the problem is that I love receiving like things. I do get very excited when I purchase something from Amazon and I'm like, yes, great. And then what I know for sure is I probably, even though I'll have got that first package and open those Armani sunglasses and put them on, I'll go, ah, they're not right. Mm. I'll be back on Amazon and I'll be looking for another pair.
But you don't send those back, or do you?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't send them back. Like I've got really good at it now. But at the time, I just sort of buy things. And then the whole process of returning it seemed like difficult and depressing. And it took me a long time to realize that's what they call stupid and a waste of money.
The celebrity lifestyle of Alex Zane. You're buying them. You're trying on £100 worth of Armani sunglasses and go, nah, not for my face. And then basically putting them in a bin.
When I don't put them in the bin. I like put them in a drawer full of unused
rubbish.
Sunglasses.
A drawer full of rubbish, otherwise known as a bin. You see, this is why Michael McIntyre made it big, because he was a man of the people. He talked about the batteries in his man drawer. You can't talk about your Armani sunglasses in your man drawer, can you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it went down well at the gig in Monaco, but apart from that...
The Armani draw. Oh, what?
I should never buy. Although, again, like I said, I've got a lot better at it. There was a period where I shouldn't have been buying clothes and sunglasses online, because sort of their arrival was the equivalent of me picking them up in a shop and then me going no and putting them down was me putting them back on the shelf in the shop.
Yeah,
just like it being my shelf in my house.
Oh, I love it. So expensive. You're earning too much money, Alex Zane. Too much money. What are you doing career-wise in 2014? Are you Skyman? Are you on XFM or Radio X? What was it then when you did it?
No, I'd left XFM at that point.
Still, by the way, I think one of the best breakfast show DJs I've ever heard. I honestly don't understand why you're not doing that now. It's idiotic. Just FYI.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah, that was a really... do you know what? When people mention that show, when people come up to me or tweet me or whatever, and it's the XFM breakfast show that they're talking about, I always take the time to engage more than I would for other shows, because it's a show that I'm really proud of.
That was brilliant. I mean, the Boots commercial was great that you did, but...
That was a great... I mean, it's sort of, for me, it goes, the XFM breakfast show... The Boots commercial and then everything else. This podcast. My mate bought
a toaster. You know how you were saying the Red Shoe Diaries? Could you explain on the 30th of October 2015 why you've bought the Pleaser EU Seduce 420 pumps red for women? Some lovely red. Literally, they look like they're high heels from the Red Shoes Diaries.
Because I am a huge believer in dressing up as a beautiful woman for Halloween. And that was, I think, the first year I did it. Halloween is my favorite festival of the year. I absolutely love it. I think it's so much fun. Yeah. And I go to a lot of effort with my costumes. And that year I was zombie nurse, I believe. Lovely. And those shoes, are they the felt ones or the satiny kind of ones? I'm not very good with materials, but they've got a little bow on the front, if I'm right.
Let's click through. No, they don't have a bow on the front. Actually. Oh. That must be another year, Alex. Sensuous and sexy and wild. No other adjectives are more fitted to describe... Someone's thesaurus broke, didn't they? No other adjectives are more fitted to describe the essence of the Pleaser brand of footwear. There's one I didn't know at school. You got Clarks on. No, mate, these are Pleasers. Wearing a pair of Pleasers. Outer material, synthetic. Inner material, right. Man-made.
Yeah. I mean, full respect to everyone who wears heels on a regular basis. It fucking hurts a
oh,
lot.
Oh, God, yeah, the calves.
It was the toes, because obviously I'm not used to the fact that they come to a very fine sort of kind of point at the end, which squished my toes together. And for probably the 24 hours after Halloween, I was sitting there with my feet up and it felt like I still had the heels on, like my toes were being crushed into a small point. But yeah, it's great fun. One of my best costumes, if I dare say so myself, was Alicia Silverstone from Clueless. I bought the entire Alicia Silverstone costume.
I just wonder at what's going on in the inner psyche, you know, when your idea of scaring someone on Halloween is a woman. Why are you scared of women? That's basically what I want to know.
Yeah, I think the inner monologue that I'm having with myself is answering on Halloween a lot of questions that I bury for the rest of the year about my identity.
This is selling this podcast to the mirror. Thank you.
It's a very, very freeing experience. Tell me, do you A, celebrate Halloween, and yes. B, what do you dress as?
I dress as a really fucked off dad. And I stand behind the kids. Say thank you for 2 hours. I do that. And I go home. So yeah, to be honest, a fucked off dad is exactly my biggest inner fear as well. And that's definitely what I've become. So
I'd argue you sort of dressed up as a sexy fucked off nurse looming behind your children on someone's doorstep is going to increase their candy reception.
I'll look into it for next year. Thanks for that. This is an interesting one. 11th of July, 2015. So summer 2015, Alex Zane, he's resting on his laurels. He's fine. He's on Channel 4. He's on Sky doing the movie stuff. Everything's okay. But what is going to make him happy? What's going to finish off the perfect life along with multiple pairs of Armani sunglasses? It is, of course, a stone concrete bird bath. $47.99 Windsor Antique. Looks great. That's the title of the product. Looks great is the it's just in case you were in any doubt when you bought it, please be reassured, it looks great. So do tell us about this stone bird bath that you've bought.
I just like some confirmation though. It does look great, doesn't it?
Yeah. It looks great. Yeah.
I mean, that is not a lie. It looks great. I couldn't believe it. It looks like an antique. Like some serious stone masonry has gone into producing this birdbath. And the truth is, it's just concrete. Yeah. Can you believe it? It's just concrete. But it looks like an expensive stone. Yeah, I had a garden at this point. I do still have the same garden. And I wanted to watch birds wash and drink. I thought it would be a very peaceful pastime to embrace.
Yes, and yes. You and see it, how the inner retiree is coming out as you get older. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Mm. And then I sort of got really angry with the birds because there were these two big wood pigeons, and the bird bath gave them confidence. Like it was a welcome mat to them, and then they decided to edge closer and closer to the house and. And for some reason, what they did was they deposited their detritus all over my patio on a daily basis.
Ah, okay.
And then they started walking. And I didn't have a cat or a dog at this point. They'd walk into the kitchen. I once walked into my own kitchen. I'd left the back door open, walked into my own kitchen, and the pigeon was in there. And it got a shock, and I got a shock. And when a pigeon gets shocked, it deposits even more detritus in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it took a shit in the kitchen.
FYI, I've given it a 3-star review on your behalf.
Thanks.
Headline, good, but beware the pigeons. The review, great for little birds, but be warned, this does bring pigeons into your garden. One walked into my kitchen and deposited detritus on the floor. Yeah, happy for me to submit that?
It's fair. It's fair. There's nothing I can argue with there.
And
if I was to argue with it, then basically that story would be a lie, and it's not a lie. So yeah, honesty is key.
Honesty is the best policy, and that's something you can't avoid on this podcast. Now, Alex, what we're going to have to do, because I could just keep trawling through this year after year after year, but what I really want to do, and what I noticed at the beginning of this recording, is how absolutely off the charts your last few months has been on Amazon. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, for example, over the course of the year, what? Oh God. In 2019. Right. Okay. Let's go back.
That's not a sound that anyone wants to hear. Okay. That's sort of, it's a sort of inhalation around the word what? And it's disconcerting.
It's because I'm trying to wrap up and I've realized there's a whole new series just in your last couple of years. I'm going to have you back on. 2018, you bought 182 items, right? 2018. 2019, do you want to know how many things you bought in 2019?
No, I don't.
474.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. It's more than an item a day.
That is nearly two items a day. It's not far off. That is absolutely extraordinary. And that is, let me tell you, that is record-breaking. Congratulations.
Thanks. I don't know that I want that record. I mean, if you'd asked me before telling me that fact, I'd say like, oh, I don't know, no more than maybe 150. But the idea that like I'm basically going on Amazon every day and buying 1.5 things is nuts.
Yeah. You are Jeff Bezos's wet dream. That is essentially what's happening here. And I could, you know what, I could go through page after page. There's so many things on Prime Video. You're buying endless things on Prime Video. You are buying the Meigu controller for Nintendo Switch for £54. You're a grown man. That's 21st of January 2019. Getting yourself a proper controller for your Game Boy. Well done there.
Well, it's actually really, it's really useful. Mario Kart 8 on the Nintendo Switch is one of the greatest video games ever. So actually, that was it. Goodbye.
Can I ask you a question? Are you online? Because I play that online frequently, and I'm happy to take you to the cleaners.
Hell, I mean, hell yes to we can play. Hell no, you won't take me to the cleaners. Do you know how much time I've spent on that game? Like, I'm unbeatable.
Do you know the shortcuts? Do you know all the shortcuts?
Yes, of course I know the shortcuts. Who do you play as?
I usually I'll go for Baby Mario.
Interesting.
Yeah, Baby, because I think they're a bit faster. My son just unlocked all the gold things, so I've now got the gold cart, which I don't think I don't think the gold cart makes a massive difference.
Okay. Do you know who I play as and win with all the time?
Go on.
Everyone. So
God, stop waggling your Mario dick around on this podcast. But interestingly, 27th of February 2019, you've bought the Meigu controller for Nintendo Switch. Exactly the same thing a month later. Are we looking at the Armani glasses all over again?
No, they wear out because I play them so much that I have to keep replacing them.
You need to get a subscription, one a month. 7th of July 2019, pack of six neon golf sun visor, pub golf, disco poker, hen stag, fancy dress. So you've got fancy dress sun visors here of all sorts of colours.
Yeah, they weren't a big hit. We had a 90s themed party, and I just thought, you know, we'd said, hey, it's fancy dress, come in fancy dress. And then I got the fear. A lot of my Amazon purchases are born out of fear of not having enough, as you can tell.
I really can't tell. Yeah, that's coming across.
So I thought, you know, if people don't come in fancy dress, I'm going to be upset because I'm in fancy dress. Mm-hmm. So I purchased a lot of sun visors for the people who didn't come in fancy dress.
What was the occasion for the party?
It was my partner's 30th.
Well, obviously she'd like some I Love the 90s balloons, which she bought here, so they can remind her of when she was, you know, at primary school.
The problem was that I know I said earlier that I like to I dress as a female character at parties and events, and for the first time I pushed the boat out too far at this event. I thought I could pull off a very unique cinematic look, and I walked out into the garden in this as a sort of surprise to everyone, I thought people would be like, oh my god, that's amazing, you're really pulling that off. People were unhappy. I was dressed as in Julia Roberts hooker outfit from Pretty Woman with thigh high boots.
Yes, and I can see those here. I can see them. Did you have a pink cigarette holder for $4.99 by any chance?
I didn't, but that was me going, what if someone wants a pink cigarette holder at this party? I shall provide.
Yeah. Johnny English Strikes Again. In the midst of all the preparation for the party, you're watching Johnny English Strikes Again. Brilliant.
That's not mine. Sure. I refuse to accept that's not mine.
Sure.
I'm happy with the thigh high boots and the tiny skirt, but don't you come and tell me that I watched Johnny English Strikes Again.
At which point, Alex Zane left the podcast. Right, let's go into lockdown. I promised we'd go into lockdown, and I've been distracted. So in lockdown, you have bought 337 items. Ugh. Okay,
I think that's slightly more forgivable because you know, you're not going out to the shops. So
you haven't been going out to the shops for the last 3 or 4 years, Alex. You've been preparing for lockdown. All right. Let's just dive into it. And you've bought. Oh god, there's just so much stuff here. It's absolutely delightful. What have we got here?
Isn't it just dog treats and cleaning products? Largely what this has been.
Not to forget the Addis Deluxe Bread Bin Stainless Steel. 22 litres for £19.90. Very nice. Go nicely with the little mini Brabantia tea bag holders.
And do you know what it does? Mm. It actually does. Mm.
Oh, you've got a BBD great. Pet Products Whippet Collar, a classic Whippet Collar. That's a nice one.
Mm. Yeah, well, whippets, the reason you have to get special special Whippet collars for your Whippet. I'm just actually going to let the Whippet out of the office. Wait there.
Okay. Simon! Is the Whippet called Simon? Because that's...
There you go. Come on. Out you go. Yeah, the Whippet's called... Yeah, the Whippet's called Simon. He was in the office with me listening to that whole thing. And the minute we get to the conversation about things that have been bought for him, he's like, I can't hear this.
It's too embarrassing.
This feels like blame. Are you blaming me for being here? Because I didn't turn up. You came and got me. So.
None of this was my choice. Many, many films throughout this, but of course that is part of your job. You've bought a nice Sky Plus HD remote control there, the classic. The classic remote there.
Yeah, the dog. That's dog related. If it was here, it would be looking guilty. I imagine it chewed the last one. And
I see.
You know how frustrating that is.
Have
to walk. It's very much like my childhood in Leeds, having to walk over to a Sky box under your TV and press a button to flick through channels.
Good God.
No one wants to live like that anymore.
No, absolutely not. A lot of Carex aloe vera hand wash. Again, blame the dog. Are we blaming the dog here?
No, that's me.
Okay, I've got
very, very soft hands.
Okay, no, good to know. I've always thought that about you. We've got a nice shiatsu back neck massager here. Does that work?
What does it look like?
It looks like
a big. Like, and has it got balls inside it?
Yes,
sort of
please.
Rotate.
Yes.
Yeah. That was for my partner. She often has a lot of tension in her shoulders, and so she likes a back massage because she's an artist. So she's often leaning over drawings,
and so she
got that.
Because she was fed up with you leaning over and rubbing her neck? That was a bit creepy. So she's replaced you with this now.
You know, it's because I'm just not very good at massaging because as I just said, my hands are so soft they just slip off.
Well,
people's skin.
You've got what my wife does, which is, again, coming back to the Stuart technique. I will massage your back, but I am bad at it. But I'll do it. I've got the plastic hammer out again.
But this massager thing, I've tried it on me. It's really good.
Mm.
And then she's done it on herself, but because she wants a massage so hard, like she loves a hard massage.
Yeah.
She did it. She pressed into it so much, it rubbed the skin off her back. She's like, but you see, my argument is that happens once and you go, well, that's obviously not a good thing and that's not how the product should be used. Three times she's done that now.
Wow.
Three times. Yeah.
28th of April 2020, the Stanley Fat Max 5-in-1 hacksaw. Interesting. Why have we got a hacksaw, please?
Because I've decided against this now, but I was gonna climb the oak tree in my garden and start cutting branches off it. Myself.
Lockdown madness.
This is the
dimmer
switch all over again. Yeah, I did. I sort of went, my garden's, I need this. This is, it's blocking the sun now. The grass is dying under it. And so I decided I was going to climb it. And I actually, as yet, haven't done that.
Right.
But again, so I bought the hacksaw and didn't return it. And then thought, this is probably not going to do the job. So then I bought a chainsaw. Off Amazon as well. Yeah. So
I love how this tree has become a sort of subplot to this whole episode. It's amazing. The tree and Stuart, there's so much. The other thing as well is just, I mean, there's just so many dog treats. Is your Whippet incredibly fat? Because there's endless Wag lamb and mint flavored dental bites, Harrington's fresh lean turkey low fat snacks, farm food antler, easy chew for dogs, medium. I mean, this is a much loved pet, isn't it? Sorry, not spoiled, much loved.
Well, no, you were right the first time.
Okay.
It's a spoiled dog. So yeah, he gets a lot of treats and, but also, he's quite young still, so he's only 10 months old, and sort of being trapped in a house with a 10-month-old dog or even like a 7-8-month-old dog and sort of going, and it's just going nuts, and you're like, I have no energy left. You have taken my energy. What can I give? Oh, you like that?
Oh, that's calming you down. Oh, well, I can get more of those. Yeah.
Hello, Amazon.
God, it's incredible.
So,
look at the good boy, large, chewy braid dog treats. So many dog treats. Lucky boy.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to address that at the moment, because he's now we're getting into a dangerous a dangerous period where he's not eating his food because he just wants treats. So, I'm doing some seriously bad dog parenting.
You know what you need to do? Just tell him off verbally for ages and just making a lot of eye contact. That really works, especially when you really describe using a lot of long words. They understand what you're saying. They do know. Collapsible travel dog water bowl, a true love soft front dog harness. There's a theme.
Yep.
What else have we got here? A Kong. Love a Kong for a dog. That's a very chewy toy for a dog.
Have you got a dog, Tom?
Yes. You know I've got a dog. I've got a black.
Oh, of course.
I've got a black labradoodle called Polly, who I adore. And yet, in 14 years of owning her, I haven't spent as much money on her as you have on your whippet in a month. Listen, Alex, you know what? I think we have to finish this on a, you know, it's great that one of the final things you've bought is topical. £44 worth of Corona Extra, because just what we need in 2020, forget 2020, we need a little bit more Corona.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone done that joke? Having Corona beer?
Let's have a little Google on here. No, can't think. They have. That's good news. Great.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what? If there is still 2020 available, you buy. Also, I don't know if Mr. Milligan, who owned the shop, would approve of you buying the Passoa liqueur and the what else have we got? Moaning. Oh, the pure sugar syrup, which people use for making cocktails. Pure cane sugar syrup for cocktails. My wife got a load of that in lockdown as well.
It's great. So yeah, it was quite surprising. It was my girlfriend's birthday, and I was dressed as a man, just casual.
That was a present for her, was it?
Yeah, but it's weird because she actually asked for it, and I was like, okay, that's what you want. You want me to not dress as a woman, sure, but that counts as a gift. But I just, I decided to. I felt quite adult actually to make cocktails instead of just sort of go, hey, woo, let's sort of just get drunk. I made some passion fruit martinis some margaritas. I was brilliant at it, by the way.
I don't doubt it for a second. And it's, you know, I just love the fact that the rock and roll MTV superstar will now make a cocktail, wander down the garden and sit with his girlfriend, dressed as a man, obviously, as you will be, looking at the bird bath. You know, it's a lovely image to leave you on, really.
Oh, I mean, it's not entirely true. I moved the bird bath into the bushes so it's hidden because I don't like it anymore.
Well, I think birds should have some privacy when they bath, just like us, really.
Yeah, there's no water in it, so, I mean, they'd be lucky.
You just stand next to it going, fuck you, pigeons, fuck you. I had to use your bathwater to clean my kitchen floor. Piss off. Alex Zane, as ever, I adore talking to you. In fact, I can't believe how long we've done. We've done far longer than I wanted to do. Far, far longer than we should have done. You're absolutely brilliant. And where can people find you? You're on the Twitters and all that business, aren't you?
Yeah, on the Twitters. And also, I'm obviously going to use this opportunity on your super awesome podcast to promote my equally super awesome podcast, Clash of the Titles, a movie podcast that I do where we pit two movies with something in common against each other. So Clash of the Titles. If people could listen to that, that would be super, super great.
I'm sure they absolutely will. Alex Zane, thank you for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Lots of love. All the best, kind regards.
Thank you, Tom Price. Bye-bye.
Oh my word, I do love a bit of Alex Zane, and I hope you do too. Go and check out his podcast. He's absolutely brilliant. He's a glorious man, and honestly, when he was on XFM, just absolutely the best. And I hope he's back on the radio very, very soon, because I think he's brilliant. Thanks for listening, thanks for all your kind comments, and thanks for the reviews. Still, we're getting loads of reviews, and I know I talk about this at the end of every episode. I'll shut up. I'll let you get on with your life. I'll be back next week. Lots of love. Long as I love you, I think you love you. When I'm without you, I think about you. Please don't believe me, don't deceive me. Why do we have to part? I can't be the same always. GreatBigOwl.com
Hi, I'm Hannah Norris, and this is my husband,
Carl Donnelly.
And we have a new podcast for you. It's called The Keith Cheggers Podcast, and it's about pregnancy, because that is what's happening in our lives right now.
And inside your belly.
Yeah. So we are recording weekly episodes throughout the course of my pregnancy, talking to each other and interesting and funny guests that we have on about their experiences with the pregnancy, so we can work out a bit more about what the hell is happening and what is coming up for us. So tune in, subscribe, and have a listen to the Keith Cheggers podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
Great Big Owl.